Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour Extra Bits, our little gift to you podcast subscribers. This week, we meet a woman whose son is going through transition to become a girl. She talks about what it's been like for the family, what they've all learnt, and how other parents can reach out and get support.
Underwear, armpit hair, many imitators, but no one compares.
Badass Women's Hour XL with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell, and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio.
One, two, three, four!
Coming up next, we've got an amazing woman, Sarah Toms, not her real name, but we'll talk to Sarah Toms, whose 12-year-old son, Charlie, wants to start transitioning to become a girl. She is going to be talking to us about how the experience affected her and her family and just what she would tell other parents going through the same thing.
Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
She'll get you talking.
And so tell us, tell us a little bit about Charlie's story and how the moment when you first realised that this was happening for him.
I think probably like it was very common to most parents. You know, you're bumbling along living your life and transgender isn't something that's on your horizon, particularly where we live it. I mean, it's really not on our horizon at all, nothing that we've thought about. And one day his father said to me, they'd been talking about why he was unhappy playing tennis, and he was unhappy doing all sorts of things that were particularly male-oriented, you know, never interested in football, that kind of stuff. And he gave us a reason that he was a girl. And my husband mentioned that to me, and we thought, okay. And then 3 weeks later, we were at the grandparents' house on holiday, and he drew a Snapchat picture of himself with makeup on and wrote, "I am a girl" on it, and showed it to me in quite a confidential way. And I thought, okay. and I guess, you know, we as parents, we got our heads together and thought, what do we do about this? And we were worried that he perhaps thought that boys were not nice because he struggled socially with boys. So I tried to have a little pep talk with him about, you know, boys can be nice and boys can be gentle. And he said, "Oh, okay, Mummy, that's fine." And there was something about that that just made me feel really uncomfortable. And then over the next 6 months, this issue kept cropping up. And in that period, we reached a point where he was really getting quite distressed and saying, you know, "I am a girl and you can't help me. There's nothing you can do about it."
Yeah.
And at that point, we felt we needed help.
Did you know who to go to for help?
No, not really. I felt really confident as a parent. I felt that I was raising my children really well. I felt they were happy. They were bright, they were doing fantastically, and suddenly I felt completely out of my depth. It wasn't something that I was expecting at all. I was expecting, in a quite low key way, that my son might be gay. That had crossed my mind, but I wasn't expecting that. So no, it was a real kind of shock, and it was a big shock for my daughter as well, who was only 11 at the time. Massive shock for her.
I have to say, though, Sarah, it says a lot about you as parents that your son did feel as though he could come and talk to you and, you know, talk to his dad. Because a lot of the times, young boys, young girls, they don't feel as though they can speak to their parents or anybody that's close to them out of fear. And it takes them years before they can actually open up and be honest about who they are. So that does say a lot about you as parents.
I believe that in that first conversation where I tried to talk to him about boys being good and because he'd always struggled with boys, particularly boisterous boys, and he almost clammed up on me, and at one point he said, OK, Mummy, I'll be a boy. And it was so off pat that it really, really worried me. And through my work, I come across child psychologists quite a lot, and I was just really, really troubled by the fact that he'd almost shut me up. And I think, you know, people are talking about this explosion of trans children. And for me, that was a crystal clear moment where I could have shut this down. And I think I almost did shut it down. And it was that quick and that easy. You know, Mummy doesn't want me to be a girl. Fine, I'm not a girl. And that could have driven it underground. And you see so many trans adults where this pops out in adulthood. And I think it's so easy for us to shut down. Whether it's a gay child, historically, I think gay people are much more accepted in society. It's easier for them. But it's not easy for gay people to come out. Not always easy for them. Even now, I think it's easier, but it's not necessarily easy. For a trans person, there's such a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the population. It's really a burgeoning confidence for that population. And I think you could easily shut a child down and that would go away because of all the social approbation. And children are they're litmus papers. They pick up on what they can and what they shouldn't say. You know, why do gay children not tell their parents often that they're gay? Because children know. They know that they shouldn't say these things because it might upset people.
For you, what did you do then when you realised that you needed help? What was the next step?
I spoke to a child psychologist that I really respected and I knew professionally, and she then said, whoa, this is right out of my league, but there is this organisation called the Tavistock and Portman, and I think that you're right to be concerned, you're right to have intuited that you shut down that conversation, and I think you should be asking someone to refer you to a specialist service because this is very specialist.
And I guess some people would say, well, your son is 12 and we all change a lot as we grow up and it's not something you should be thinking about now. What would you say to them?
Well, those conversations took place in March 2015. By 6 months after that, he was socially transitioned at home, dressing as a girl the whole time. And was saying he wanted to transition at school. And then in November 15, he suddenly did a complete volte-face and said, no, I don't want to. And when we asked him why, he said, I'm really scared. I'm scared I'm going to lose my friends. And at that point, he said, he used to talk in terms of, I'm 100% girl, or, you know, how are you feeling today, 100% girl. And it was very low-key. At that point, he said, no, I'm 50-50. So we spent the next 2.5-3 years living with 50-50 person. Quite happily, again, just going along quite quietly. The gender issue was always there. You knew it was there, but we didn't talk about it a great deal. Any discussion was very much led by him. And I think what we would doing is waiting and seeing, which I'm sure most parents do.
Yeah.
You know, just watching, accepting, loving. School were on board, school knew. So there were things like when he transitioned to secondary school, he had a toilet pass so that if he wanted to use a gender-neutral toilet, he could, and that was his choice. But even though he was gender-questioning, school were really empathetic to that situation. And we just waited. And then as last summer approached and he was transitioning to secondary school, he started to show disgust in other teenagers, poor teenagers, teenage boys in particular. You know, he'd come home and say, I was stood next to this really ugly boy today in the queue. And I said, what was ugly about him? Oh, my God, you should have seen his jaw. His jaw was really jutty and he had this horrible lump in his throat. And or it would be horror at deep voices. And he has a lovely high voice and loved singing. Not that he sings in any kind of choir or anything like that, but just a really lovely voice, and he's always singing, and just horror at any slight change in the intonation of his voice. Hair growth, I mean, I swear he knows every single hair on his body.
Wow.
Like, charts them. And yeah, really just not happy about these changes, which, you know, I've heard said many children are worried about puberty.
Yeah.
And yeah, I get that. I do get that. Of course, many children are worried about puberty. But I think if you're a parent of a child with, I can't say gender dysphoria because you haven't got a diagnosis at the moment, but if you're a parent of a child with these issues, you know something's different. You know there's something quite consistent about what they're saying.
And what would you advise other parents who potentially are going through something similar or have noticed some of these behaviours in their children? What would you tell them?
I think it's very important not to move too fast. I think it's very important to be very accepting and loving. We always tell our child that we love him, her, whoever he or she is or will be. We're always really clear about that. And that we will support him in whatever journey he takes. And that's sexual, that's gender, whichever journey. We've obviously found out quite a lot around the subject, read up about it. We live in quite an isolated area, so we don't have a lot of or any real contact much with other families in that situation. So we can't sort of send him out to play with other trans kids or things like that. But there is a LGBT group at his school, and tentatively he's going to join that group. I think he went to the last meeting, and we support him with those kind of initiatives. We're just there for him, really. It's led us to have a much more open relationship as a family. We talk about sexual things in a lot more open way, I think, than we would have done before. So, yeah, I think we weren't that conservative, but yeah, it's made us a much more open family. I think it's been an experience that's been for the better for us as a family. Mm. And the last school he was in, the primary school he was in, they had some LGBT training in. And when we left that school, because he was our youngest, the Senko there said that the experience of having him had just been 100% positive for the school. They had absolutely loved having him there.
Aww.
Because they had so much training, and the school embraced it.
Yeah.
And although he was in stealth, so other families wouldn't necessarily have known, I think they knew that there was a reason for them. They had a new building, for example, in the older school. They put in unisex toilets, and that was around him.
Wow.
Just little things. But their whole attitude towards him was great. And I think if you can work in partnership with schools, and if you can work cooperatively with professionals, and it's hard, it's very hard not to be very defensive, because it feels like there's a lot of... It feels, I think, that there is a lot of... I don't want to use the word transphobia, but there's a lot of... there's a battle to be fought sometimes.
Yeah.
You feel that social approbation. And I've experienced a little of that within my own family, very briefly. Certainly experienced weird questions from people who've found out about it. But generally, broadly, I'd say most people are quite supportive.
I mean, Sarah, it sounds like you're doing an amazing job as his mum, and thank you so much for chatting to us about it and just, I think, really giving a point of view that feels so calm and thoughtful in the face of this debate, which is often so frantic. So thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck to you and all your family.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Fantastic, Sarah Toms there. I hope you're listening and you're in that situation that she's given you some wisdom and advice. 1, 2, 3, 4! This has been the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. If you want to hear more from us, you can come follow us on social media at Badass Women's Hour, HR, or leave us a review and tell us how much you love us. We really need to feel the love. 5 stars should do it.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.